Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Every day is just one heartbeat away from a headline. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
If you take the DNA out, but obviously we know a knife was used in this case, and there is a sheath that existed, but if you take the DNA part of this out, obviously, you can look at digital records, and I know they are. I don't recall. Have we ever seen anything that he had purchased the K-bar knife in terms of his digital purchase history? I know it's something that they were wanting to look at.
Well, yes. So, really looked into this right after all the search warrant information came out, where they did a search warrant to K-bar themselves. Mm-hmm. And I actually posted on Twitter because for me, I found this very interesting that they narrowed it down for us. The top, I believe it was 3 knife choices. And then I posted those to show everybody, listen, we don't know which one it was, but these were the only K-bar knives that Brian Koberger would have been able to purchase. Mm-hmm. And I posted those 3 because they have so many knives. Beyond that, we know that there were search warrants done again for Brian Koberger related to that purchase from Amazon. So while we cannot see that return per se, it sure adds up. And if you recall on Dateline, they were very specific and said adamantly that they traced his purchase of a K-bar knife to an Amazon purchase from their sources. Now, Dateline is pretty on top of it. I've actually never known Dateline not to be accurate. They vet everything so closely. I think that that's where that is going to ferret out to. And again, I was able to back that up through court documents pretty closely.
Yeah.
Not to the actual purchase, but pretty close.
Very close. So, I mean, if we were to be a betting on this, that they have evidence that he purchased a K-bar knife, it's pretty strong odds at this point, if we're just speculating. Take the DNA out of it, purchase the knife. I mean, anyone can purchase a knife, but he purchased the murder weapon recently, allegedly, you know, if this assault comes out the way we think it will. If you take the DNA out of it, isn't it just as strong, the fact that he bought the damn knife?
I think it's another important piece to that puzzle. Also, all of the video showing the vehicle that matches his vehicle. Obviously, they're going to argue the fact that the FBI analyst unfortunately limited the time frame, excluding the year of his, which was a mistake. They should have made it broader because those cars all look alike that he had. There's very little difference in those vehicles. And then of course, later he changed his report and said it also should include this. And, you know, but the defense, of course, will have heyday with that. But one of the biggest things that I think is going to come out, we'll see. But if you may recall, the defense did a motion where they essentially released a lot of information. They got sort of out from underneath that gag order. I thought it was very unscrupulous, really, how they did it, where they described that his vehicle, his office, his home, that you know, apartment, that none of them had any DNA in them. And remember, they're not supposed to be telling the public all these details, but they did it through a motion. But what I always thought was interesting is they never said there was no DNA found at 1122 King Road. And I always thought, if you're going to make this big point, which everybody, of course, jumped up and down, that that was for the defense. See, you know, how could he possibly have gotten rid of all DNA from the vehicle, as an example? And I think they would have jumped up and down, and none of his DNA or nothing was found at the house as well. And that isn't what they said. So I keep wondering what pieces of you know, information we might have in that regard from 1122 King Road. The other thing is, even though they said there was no DNA found in his vehicle, and you know, scientists will get this, people with any sort of biology background, that's my background, chemistry background, DNA is contained in blood, DNA is contained in semen and in saliva and in hair, but hair is not DNA. Hair is hair. It's made up of other proteins and items. So same with blood, and only parts of blood even have DNA. Other parts of blood have no DNA. And so I always wondered, did they find anything in the vehicle, any blood staining, if you will, that didn't have DNA because it was too, you know, cleaned and bleached and you know, obliterated. So that's something I'm also going to be interested in seeing. Or did he do such a perfect job of disrobing and putting everything in a plastic bag, which is what I think he did, and took off everything that was bloody and, you know, depart and put that in his trunk, and it never saw the inside of a vehicle?
Yeah, he certainly, if it is in fact him, whoever did this, obviously was very careful not to leave a lot of evidence behind. The book that has come out from Bloom talks about not directly having conversations with Koberger's parents, but friends of the family. And it alludes a lot to maybe the family kind of thinks he might have done this. I'm not trying to put words in their mouth. I'm not quoting them. I'm just that was my takeaway from the book. I know the family has since said that they do stand behind their son, and they want to be there for him. I don't think they've ever, I could be wrong, I don't believe they ever like professed his innocence, but they do stand beside their son. Do you think we're going to see any witnesses come forward to talk about the relationship there, to talk about, yeah, you know, I had a conversation, his dad came to me, I'm just speculating here, and he kind of told me this or that. Are we going to see anything like that come through of just people in his closer circle that may have some suspicions of him possibly being the killer?
I think maybe the sister will be called. You know, there were issues with the sister from early on, even a theft that occurred, and certainly details regarding, I think, their concern with Brian Koberger and this related to this crime. Remember also, and this is a very important piece of information, that the parents were both subpoenaed under grand jury subpoena to testify regarding a missing woman. And I think the only reason that is very relevant is they fought not to have to testify regarding their son. I think most people, if you knew your son wasn't involved in another murder, this one was on the East Coast, you know, they were just doing a full grand jury investigation, you would want to be there to say, listen, there's no way he was there. He had an alibi. We can give him an alibi. I always thought it was interesting that they fought that. They hired attorneys not to testify. And then it's also very interesting that that could be shared. to Idaho. So I think it'll be interesting as to what was said, because how much investigation was done by that grand jury into the thought process of Brian Koberger's parents at that time. So there's a lot of intricacies in this case. This trial is going to be amazing in terms of understanding everything that happened that night and after that night in the morning, if we ever get to trial, Tony.
It really is. You've predicted, you've been accurate on this one thus far. When it first happened, I think you said 2 or 3 years out till this trial actually starts. We're going to be at the 3-year mark when it does, if we stick to the date. Are you still sticking with your prediction of 3 years out, or do you think this could go even further?
I think it'll go further now because of the change of venue. Okay. When that change of venue occurred, everything started over as we're seeing again. So hearings that have already been had or being rehad, and, you know, even the death penalty situation, you know, not only were there briefs submitted to this judge, but also oral arguments. And so now the judge and his clerks have to take, you know, a lot of time, and they're going to write a very extensive decision.
Yeah.
And all of this is just taking so much time. And, you know, we're not even leapfrogged to the next stage yet. Yeah. So it's going to be a while, Tony.
So much. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. As always, thanks for your insights on this horrible case.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, we'll wrap up right there. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a 5-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.